Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's time for The Upswing on WTMJ, showcasing businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Now, in for Jeff Sherman, here's Steve Scafidi. I'm gonna make this place yours.
Oh, I even got the big voice intro. Yes, here's truly Steve Scafidi filling in for Jeff Sherman. And I have a special, special guest today. You're going to recognize his voice right away, even before he says that name of that famous spice. Chef Michael Fecker joining him from Il Mito and all his other restaurants. Good morning, Chef.
Morning, Steve.
Let's get his mic on there. There you go.
There we go. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Steve. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. When Jeff said, hey, I need something to fill in for Friday, because he had some plans for today that he had to address, I said, we got to have Fecker in, because it's grilling season. I always enjoyed your visits old show. And now, unless you're going to talk about politics, I don't talk to you as much. Although I do go to your restaurant.
Thank you.
Which is still fantastic, by the way, in Tulsa.
Yeah, we can talk food politics. How's that?
Is there food politics?
Oh my God, yes.
What's the politics of food? The
politics of food is how we deal with food deserts, such as why a certain neighborhood gets one kind of food, why there are no supermarkets there, how we pay and make ingredients available to certain groups. There's a lot of politics that goes on that has to do with agriculture, with lobbying, and everything else.
One of the things that Jeff Sherman does on The Upswing is he brings forward business leaders, business owners, and you own, I think, four or five restaurants.
Five, yes, yes.
So that's one of the reasons that I've always enjoyed our conversations, because you can kind of encompass all that goes into that. Being a business owner, running a business, but also, at the end of your work product,
yes,
giving someone a dish or a meal they never forget. And I just ate at Il Mito about a month ago. Again, fantastic.
Thank you. You know, one of the things is in our industry, when it comes to food, there's a very, very instant gratification involved. Why? Like you just said, we take the steps, but at the end, we have a piece of art that we present to you. And when I watch you take your piece of bread and wipe your plate clean, that is my
which
high.
Which I did.
Which I'm telling you, and that is my high. That is my enjoyment that I get to see it right away. But one of the things that you just brought up that is a wonderful, wonderful subject to talk about is a lot of times our guests and customers don't see the behind the scene. Like when you go to a movie, you don't really see what went into the production. You just see the movie at the end. And that is a great, great subject that everybody's interested about.
You call it Chef's Table? Is that what it is?
That's my private Chef's Table.
We were sitting right there and we watched you do your work. I heard you talking as I was trying to listen out of both ears, because we had three people in our party with me. But I was watching you do that stuff, and you walk people through prep,
cooking,
presentation,
purchasing, and everything. I love that. Steve, one of the things that whole concept does for me is during the week, I do my work, I do my business, I do my recipes, so on and so forth. But when I have those events, I feed off of the customers. Like, they recharge my battery, you know, they recharge my soul, my culinary. I love sharing those things.
Well, you know this probably better than anybody, because you own five restaurants. There's a sense of community when you're in a restaurant. If you're in a restaurant all by yourself, it's okay. If the food's great, it's great. Yeah. But when you have that buzz, whether it's at the chef's table or just at a small table next to a busy table, that sense of community and the buzz of a room is part of the dining experience I think everybody appreciates.
Totally. And those links that are created due to the energy that exists within a space. That's why one of the reasons that you go to a restaurant that is very large, you don't feel that sense of community and that soul soothing, you know, energy. In a smaller restaurant, you do. That's why you say, God, it's so quaint. You know, that's the word that we use. Oh, it's so cozy. That's the word that we use.
I'm in a group of people, couples, that we like to try new restaurants. That's how we first discovered Il Mito, and I got to know you a little bit. So we go to new restaurants. And one of the ways that I do this, I want to just get your professional chef, business owner take on this. I explore their menu online, usually, or if I get a copy of it.
Right.
And I learn, and if they're really good at what they do, they explain what they're putting together. How important is that digital piece now to people going to restaurants?
That is a very, very, very important piece of real estate. I call it real estate because really it is not brick and mortar, but it's just as important. And more important, because that is now becoming your first impression. Before, the hostess was your first impression. Before, was the first time that you walk in was your first impression. Now, you receive the impression prior to walking in. That's why it is so important to take our websites and every other platform that we are on to constantly renew, to constantly inform you, and to constantly create conversation. Many people or many brands keep making noise. The customer is tired of noise. They don't want noise. They want conversation. Before, content was king. Now community is king.
And that's a top-down act of being a good business, because you are Absolutely. Involved in that process. It's not handing it off to some private company. You are actively engaging, posting, writing content, taking pictures. I think that's the magic of that.
It is weird you bring this up, because we were having a meeting just about this subject yesterday. One of the things that I've done through my entire business of growth, you know, of course, first I was a cook, I wasn't a businessman, later by later I learned things. One of the things that I've done since I've become truly involved in being a businessman is always having an internal marketing person. I don't want to talk to a company that doesn't live what I live every day and what I want my customers to live.
See the food, smell the food, see how it's prepared.
Taste, Jasmine, taste. Come and sit down with me. Let's talk about this. Let's do that. So then she becomes an owner. She becomes a part of what I do. And that's why when she writes, or when Jerry, that is, does our my social media, when she speaks like Fekir. She's me. I mean, she's just an amazing.
You Feckerized her.
That's, or Jerry-ized me.
He is Chef Michael Fecker. We'll take a quick break here. We're going to welcome your conversation, your questions as well. 855-616-1620. We're going to dive into like summer cooking, the grilling season. I grilled out on, I think, 2 days last week. That is the time of year we look forward to in Wisconsin. Not that people don't grill out in the winter, but we know most people like it when it's a little warmer out.
You know, Steve, the tree has a root. The business part of cooking and restaurant business is the root of the tree. Soon we're going to talk about the fruits, which is the cooking and the ingredients.
And before we go to break, what do we say? Welcome to
Chef Fecker. No, what?
Flavortown.
Flavortown. Yeah, baby.
Quick break. Honoring those who dedicate their lives to keeping us safe. One of the things I love to do, and I'm going to do it on the upswing as well, and I'll probably be on all the shows talking about it, but this is a really important time because we are soliciting your nominations for my Salute to Service, presented by Waterstone Bank and sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Nominate a first responder, somebody who went above and beyond. They always do that. We know that. Tell me the story. Give me the names. Give me a contact, a couple paragraphs on why you're nominating that individual or that group, and I will tell those stories. We'll pick the best ones for Hero Week, May 20th through May 24th. Help me tell your stories. It's my Salute to Service, presented by Waterstone Bank and sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. And it is one of my favorite times of the year. This is my, I think, seventh year of this this great month of honoring those men and women. And the stories have been incredible. I've already got a couple that I've kind of have my eye on because they are incredible, incredible stories. From the performance of law enforcement, public safety, to the individuals impacted by their work, help me tell those stories. That's the Salute to Service, again, presented by Waterstone Bank and sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Chef Michael Fecker is my guest in studio.
Hello, everybody. I'm back.
You are back. We did a podcast not too long ago. Yeah. I forgot what we were talking. What were we talking about on that podcast?
The last time that we were talking about was just about fall cooking those things. Yeah.
Well, here it is, spring. So yeah. somebody teed this one up for me, so I'm going to ask you in a couple different questions about this. Some of us, not me, but some of us only grill in the warm months, right?
Right.
So they walk out to their grill in their backyard or their patio, whatever it is. They take the cover off, hopefully, if they have a cover. They flip open that grill.
Right.
What do they need to do before they start cooking on that grill?
Absolutely. Let's go back exactly to when we shut off the grill and we stop grilling. It is at that time that prepares you for when you're going to turn on the grill. So take off your grills. Wash them, whether you're going to use your dishwasher. I suggest a brush that you do it in the sink. And then you immediately take a paper towel with a little bit of oil on it, and you rub it on the grid, and then put them in your garage. If you don't do that, they're going to rust.
So don't leave them outside. Take them in the garage.
Put them in the garage. You don't want any moisture. You don't want anything.
When you say, what kind of oil are you saying?
Cooking oil. Any oil, you know, okay. Not too cheap, but expensive of oil, because once you turn on the grill, that oil is going to burn off anyway. Then that grease container that your grease drops in, or the tray in the bottom, that has to be cleaned on a weekly basis, because that is a source of fire. That's what happens. Your chicken is dripping, the dripping of the oil or whatever, and boom, there it goes.
That really comes into play, and I've seen this happen at parties I've been at. So they've never emptied that tray or cleaned that tray, and they have high heat going on their grill. That thing will amp up, and you have flames coming out of the back of that grill.
Steve, go back to the business again. It's the same thing in restaurant. You know, in the kitchen, you got to pull that tray out every week and clean it. Forget about leaving it there for 6 months. There's going to be a fire. It's the same thing with the grill. Then the other thing that is very important with grilling is cover your grill in a way that there is no water or snow or anything getting to it. Again, take it into the garage. And also, wipe that connection, for those of you that have propane grill, wipe that connection inside of it that goes into the tank. Mm-hmm. Because that is sometimes you say, wait a minute, I just put this new tank on. Why the hell did it run out so fast? Because
it's leaking.
It's not closing well. And that's another thing that is very important.
All right. So as a chef, restaurant owner, business owner, when you look at the people who are deciding to cook outside.
Yeah.
Now, you'd rather have them eat in your restaurant, I'm guessing, from a business perspective.
But having me at home cooking for them outside.
Would you do that? Do people hire you for parties?
Right now, I have like 7 of them for graduation and backyard cooking.
So walk me through that. How does that work?
They contact us via email. We decide what the theme is. Like today, yesterday afternoon, I did a graduation that's going to be on the lake. And then because of the temperature and everything else, I walk her through it. Look, if you do a mayo base, she wanted this. I say, if I do a coleslaw, then I got to do a vinegar-based coleslaw because the mayo is not going to be good outside. So we go through those things. I create a menu within a budget. I send them the menu with their budget. They like it. They approve it. And that's what we do. She wants everything done, from containers to tables to bar to everything. She doesn't want to touch anything. And that's the beauty of it. We do it from A to Z.
All right. Chef Michael Fecker, we'll take another break here. After the break, do's and don'ts of grilling. Kind of just a review.
Absolutely.
Of the do's and don'ts. Because it's grilling season.
Yeah.
I know, because I hear all the sausage commercials on the radio, and I see them on TV. Right. Chef Michael Fecker, our guest. If you have a question for the chef, 855-616-1620. This is The Upswing on WTMJ. Thank you for listening to The Upswing. Yep, Jeff Sherman is typically sitting in this chair. He's off today, and I graciously agreed to do this hour. And I could talk for 5 hours if you let me, and I have in the past on occasion when... In the old days, Jeff Wagner decided he was going to be off for a little bit, unscheduled. Anyway, my guest today, Chef Michael Fecker, joining us. And quickly before the bottom of the hour news, we're going to talk about some other things in the next half hour. But do's and don'ts for grilling slash tailgating.
Tailgating. In my opinion, I always take everything kind of pre-cooked to the grill. I never use raw ingredients because, one, it takes my focus away from being a guest at my own event.
So what does that mean exactly?
Chicken. Let's talk about chicken. That is something that we go to all the time. I marinate the chicken in a Pyrex or in an oven-proof container. With that marinade, I place the chicken at a low temperature in the oven and let it slowly warm up. It absorbs the marinade a lot better, but by the time I'm done, within that time that I decide, the chicken is 3/4 way done. I cool it, I keep it in the refrigerator. Tomorrow when you're coming over with your wife and the entire Milwaukee, you know, population, we're going to go to the grill and grill the chicken on the grill and just warm it up and give it a char. And that's it. So that way, I don't have to worry about how it's cooking, whether it's raw, whether it's cooked all the way through, and all of my marinade has penetrated. Two, I don't have to worry about the temperature, whether my chicken is going to be sitting in a danger zone and is going to get salmonella or not.
Which is something we should all pay attention to. So if you are going to cook outside, do you always use propane, or is it charcoal, propane?
I have both at home. But if I'm going to do tailgating, I'm going to use the propane.
Just because it's easier.
And it's safer. And it's safer, and I can control the heat. I can turn it up. I can turn it down. I can use one corner for keeping things warm, the other side for grilling, on and on and on. That's the main reason.
All right. Texter asked, this is a good question, actually. I've seen this. I don't typically do this unless I'm doing maybe vegetables on the grill. Mm-hmm. Aluminum foil on your grill surface.
Right.
Is that a good idea, bad idea?
Well, a lot of times, if you're doing slow and low and slow grilling, it's okay. Otherwise, your aluminum foil will melt because the heat is so much. Why we do that is because aluminum is a magnificent conductor of heat, and it transfers the heat. Usually, we do that, like you said, on small piece ingredients or seafood.
How about things that you shouldn't do that on? Is there anything you shouldn't do that?
With aluminum? Or yeah. No, really not, because and the only thing I want you to focus, remember, the shiny side of the aluminum has been treated so it does not basically infuse your food with aluminum, raw aluminum. The other side, that is the matte side, is usually what is touching the food.
Okay.
You should be doing it the other way around.
Shiny side up.
Shiny side touching
the food. I didn't
even
know there was two sides to aluminum foil. Yeah, am I the dumb guy?
No, you're the smart guy. I just pay more attention.
I never knew that.
No, yeah, exactly.
All right, quickly, other do's and don'ts before we get to the news here.
Okay, so as far as don'ts goes to the grilling, remember, the theme of your grilling dictates what goes with your main actor. If you're doing chicken and you want to go to Italy and it's chicken and rosemary, do a side that complements that theme. Salads. People love salads grilling. Why?
I got a question about salads. We'll get to it after the news.
That sounds good. Then I'll be quiet about the salads.
No.
And mayonnaise. Be careful. Mayonnaise and those kind of things. Do not take mayonnaise outside unless you have it in an icy container or somewhere that it can sit and not go bad on you.
I imagine egg-based products might be a little risky.
Egg-based products, you don't want to have it out there. Or just have a container of ice and let the ball sit on it.
He is Chef Michael Fecker. You know him from Il Mezzo and Dobie's and a bunch of other restaurants in town. We'll talk about a little bit about that. If you have a question or comment, 855-616-1620. We'll talk about some of the salad questions I'm getting. It's that time of year. We're getting outside. We're grilling outside. And no one better to talk to than Chef Michael Fecker. You are listening to The Upswing. Where's Jeff Sherman? He's off today. He'll be back on Monday, but yours truly, Steve Scavitti, filling in for Jeff and having a good time with my friend, Chef Michael Fecker from Dobie's, Il Mezzo. What are the other restaurants?
Zesty. Il Mezzo Cafe in Delafield, yes. And Tumesa, which is my Mexican restaurant.
Yes, which I have not been to yet.
Yeah, you should, because actually this Cinco de Mayo, I have two events, one for brunch, another one for dinner. It's set menu, bottomless margaritas in the morning for $49.99.
Yeah, bottomless
dinner.
Margaritas.
Yeah, and then at night, we have a dinner set menu for $59.99 with bottomless palomas, courses.
How can folks find out about that?
They can go to chefficker.com. And there's going to be the Cinco de Mayo page right there that they can plug in.
And Fecker's F-E-K-E-R.
Correct. F-E-K-E-R. Be careful, guys, when you pronounce right. Or spell my name.
Google will catch you and slap your hand. All right. Chef Michael Fecker, getting a lot of questions about salads, summer salads. People are already growing lettuce, believe it or not, in Wisconsin. So what's an easy kind of thing you can toss together?
Okay. I'm going to just quickly tell you about salads. One thing about salads, keep it simple. What does that mean? Everybody says that. Last night we had chicken, grilled chicken with my wife, and there was arugula, shaved parmesan, lemon juice, and extra virgin olive oil, salt, and pepper. That's it. That was it. Now, you want to bring some more beautiful natural acidity, some cherry tomatoes or regular tomatoes in there. You always have the main actor, which is a green. Then you have the supporting cast that could be carrots, tomato, cucumber, whatever that is. I want you to focus on dressings. That's really what I want you to focus on. Get dressings right. Whatever is on that plate is going to taste good. So I'm going to give you a quick recipe. Always the ratio, 3-1. 3 parts oil, 1 part acidity. That acidity can be vinegar, can be lemon juice, can be orange juice, whatever it is. If you're using orange juice and you have a little bit of sweetness in your acidity, you use less oil. That's how it is usually. So get that right. Salt and pepper, shake, pour, and enjoy.
So is the 3-1 kind of the standard for making dressing?
That's a standard ratio for any dressing.
Are you a prude when it comes to dressings? Do you have to make your own, or can you have the store-bought stuff?
I make my own because it's so simple, and I really know what's in it.
Right, and it's fresher.
And there's no preservatives added. Steve, anything that is shelf-stable has to be preserved. Otherwise, there is no way you could put a dressing on a shelf for 7 months and it still looks the same.
All right, if I say these two words, macaroni salad, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yes.
All right, I love a fresh macaroni salad. Walk me through what makes the best macaroni salad you could possibly make.
Well, macaroni salad is usually mayonnaise-based.
Yes.
Yes, so if you're going to do macaroni salad with mayonnaise, then it's going to be for me, chipotle that is blended in there, fresh herbs, tossed with macaroni that is cooked. And then that's all I do. And some lemon juice to bring acidity.
Sometimes people put little pieces of cheese in there.
Yeah, they do. But if you do that, that was great. My opinion, instead of little pieces, shredded cheese. So with every bite, you get a little bit of cheese in there. And the cheese can be what you love. If you like a mozzarella, do mozzarella. If you like cheddar, do cheddar. Whatever that you may do. But classically, it's cheddar.
I have a lot of listeners that are from the Hispanic community. I want to take a break. I want to talk about some of that influence on one your restaurant, which the name was?
Tu Mesa.
Yeah, Tu Mesa. Yeah. Where is that?
That is corner of Martin and Highland.
Okay.
Yeah, so as Highland turns, you know, by the Miller Course, as it turns on top, as it turns, you see the building is green and yellow.
So think about it during the break, the influence of that culture, whether it's Mexican or South American, what you do, or what can make our food taste better. And don't say it yet.
I won't.
That famous spice that people always
ask. Starts with a T.
It does. That's what we call a tease.
Yes, that's right.
He is Chef Michael Fecker. We are in, of course, Flavor Town. You say it better than I do.
Welcome to Flavor Town.
Chef Michael Fecker on the upswing right here in WTMJ.
Love you guys.
Thanks for taking the time to join us on the upswing. I am Steve Scafidi filling in for Jeff Sherman this morning. Appreciate each and every one of you. My guest in studio, special guest, Chef Michael Fecker, restaurant fame. And a lot of questions related to Chef about temperature. And this one is a good one. And you and I were chatting during the break. I've actually seen restaurant websites that say we will not cook our steaks well done. That is, my wife likes her steaks well done. We would not go to a restaurant that said that.
Right.
Your thought on that issue, apparently.
I don't understand that. I really don't understand that. So why can't you do it well done? One, I know why, because this is my business, right? You don't know how to do it, so it is the safest for you to say, I'm not going to do it. The thing is, the magnificent art of cooking is doing something that you may think is going to dry out, but turning it out beautifully. So when your wife takes a bite, goes, man, this thing is still juicy, but it's cooked all the way through. The key is you don't finish the steak in the pan. You finish the steak in the oven, or you start in the oven and you finish it in the pan. So that way the temperature can penetrate without charring it or burning it.
We all kind of know that test on your hand, right?
Right.
So if you're doing that, like, when would you know it's going to be delicious, but yet still well done?
If I'm going to walk everybody through it. Thumb, index, you create a circle, and then you touch the muscle that is right underneath your thumb. That is a rare. You go to the second finger, that's a medium rare. You go to the third finger, that's medium. You go to pinky, that's well done.
So it's hard by the time you
exactly.
get... Exactly. Okay.
But, so when you touch it, I'm going to go back now. When you touch it, it doesn't bounce back. It's firm. Why? Because the protein fibers are pulling. The water is trying to escape from the surface. It makes the surface hard. And that's where you let it rest, and then you serve it.
So is it a bias of, well, it's mainly steak restaurants.
Yeah.
They love the look of a steak that's got a little pink in it, a little red in it. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I don't think so. Not for me, at least. I don't think so. I think it's a lack of passion for pleasing the customer.
So well done doesn't mean... not going to taste good.
Oh, my God, no. Okay. Absolutely the opposite. Sometimes well done has to taste good. It's my job to make it taste good.
I have sat next to people that have ordered their steaks very rare.
Yeah.
That's an interesting choice.
Yeah, the steak is saying moo.
Yeah. I'm not sure I'm all there. I like medium rare myself.
Me, I'm just like you. Yeah. I like the fibers to be pulling a little bit so there is a contrast when I'm cutting it.
Yeah.
I don't want to cut into a raw meat. That's me.
A bunch of people ask, this is a great question when we talk about grilling in this hour primarily. You have generally four or five zones on your gas grill,
yeah.
Right?
You have four or five burners, but a lot of people don't use all those burners as a zone.
So if you're cooking hamburgers or even chicken that you've sort of pre-cooked or gotten ready for the grill, how should you be using those zones?
Well, you just started this whole segment beautifully because first you talk about well done. Remember, when we cook, we need to allow the heat to penetrate gently into the ingredient. But first, we got to sear the outside pores of the ingredient. So you start with a high, very high corner of your grill. The next one next to it is medium, and the next one is very low. And if you have a fourth one, keep it off. You start on the high, you mark your hamburger, You go on the medium so it starts finish cooking for you, and you keep it warm on the low. If you don't do that, it's going to get charred on the outside, like a bad steak that you want well done.
Right.
It's going to char outside, and the medium, by the time we cook it, the outside is going to be dried out and fibrous.
Related question. Yes. How often should you open your grill?
Never. Never. You first turn on your grill, and you have the lid down, and then the thermometer on there is going to talk to you. It's going to tell you, okay, I'm at 500. That's a 500-degree oven. So use it as an oven. A grill is only a source of heat, nothing else.
You should never be cranking it to, like, I've seen 650 on people's gauges, 700. Right. That's too hot?
If you do that, you know what you're doing is you're preparing for the time that you're opening it to putting down your ingredients. Then when your lid comes down again, turn down your burner so that it stays around 400 to 450. But remember, one thing else I want all of you to have. You go to Home Depot or wherever you shop, you buy a spray bottle with water in it. Because when the minute you see some flare-up, you spray. So you stop the flare-up so your steak or your meat or your chicken or your sausage doesn't have that smell.
A couple people asked about charcoal grilling. I'm not an expert on it because I rarely do it unless maybe I'm tailgate. And when you tailgate, do you ever use charcoal?
I use propane.
Yeah.
I use propane. But charcoal grilling, I love. Why? Because the aroma that it creates. I'm going to give you a quick trick. If you got propane, turning it into a charcoal. You get some of these wood chips that they sell, and you soak them in water, okay? And what you do is you turn them on with your, lighter,
mm-hmm.
and then you let it sit next to your grill. And the heat from the bottom keeps the chips smoking for you.
Simple
and it gives you smoke.
Simple question, but when do you know your charcoal briquettes are ready? Is it when they're gray?
No, you don't want heat there. All you want smoke. So all you want to do is the minute the briquettes are giving you smoke, that's what you do. Oh, I see. The question was if you're using a charcoal grill.
Right.
When you know.
Yeah.
Correct. When they're gray. Absolutely. When they're gray. And I'd rather you buy real charcoal than those charcoal briquettes because the briquettes are pressed shavings of wood with glue in it.
What is the proper amount of charcoal in, let's say, a normal size Weber grill?
Got it. So this is what I do with my grill. I put the charcoal in the middle. I have one of those chimneys that starts. Then I push the charcoals to the side and I create the center of the grill empty. There is nothing. That's called round surrounding heat. And that's how I control my zones. I bring my burger on the charcoal, move it back where there is no charcoal, like that.
This is a good one. Cooking a turkey on a grill. Hints, tips.
If you're going to do it just like I just told you. You want the charcoal around it. You want the turkey in the middle. And you want the turkey to sit with some moisture. So that beer can concept, just a can or a container of water next to it.
You mean like beer can chicken?
Yeah, exactly. But I want you to use some kind of a moisture next to the turkey. Otherwise, the turkey is going to brown very fast on the outside and it's going to be raw in the middle.
So what are you talking, a can with water in it?
Can of water. Can of water. That's all.
And what is it that humidifies?
Humidifies. Bravo. That humidifies the water.
And how long does it typically take on a grill to cook a turkey?
Oh, depending on the pounds. I know, again, what I do is at least 20 minutes per pound. At least.
So the idea is you get that smoky flavor as well as a good even cook.
Yes, exactly. Now I've got to give you another trick with that. Sometimes you get a good quality liquid smoke. You rub it with a little bit of olive oil together, mix it together, and you rub your turkey with it. Then you put it in the oven. Now you got to smoke turkey without going on the grill.
Now you're just making me hungry.
Yeah. And then you slice it, you put it on a piece of bread, and then some tomatoes, some lettuce. Yes, that's...
Okay, we completely forgot about this. So somebody asked, that spice you love to talk about.
Tajin.
Right.
T-A-J-I-N. So one of the things that I wrote for you, and I send it to Steve, and this recipe is going to be on his website and on mine as well, is the chicken that is marinated with those flavors. My wife, being from Mexico, I've learned many flavors from her, and that's why we opened a Mexican restaurant. So this one that I'm talking about, tajin has lime in it, tajin has salt in it, tajin has chili peppers in it. It has everything in it. It's like when you buy a spice mix. And that's the beauty of it. You can use this tajin on the rim of your tequila or your margarita. You can cook with it, or you can use it as a dry rub.
It's funny when I'm around town, people, that's the thing they always tie to you. I don't really use it that much, but maybe I'll have to start.
Yeah, I think you're going to enjoy it because it's going to make your life so easy because it has everything in there.
I look at it this way. I could cook the stuff or I can go to one of your amazing restaurants and you could cook it for me.
I love you.
I like the second choice. Yes,
I like that too.
We'll wrap it up with Chef Michael Fecker. You're, of course, listening to The Upswing here on WTMJ. Last few minutes of The Upswing on this Friday edition. Steve Squiddy filling for Jeff Sherman. Chef Michael Fecker, my guest. All right, so a couple quick ones here because people asked. The foil thing, what was the... Because I didn't know until today there's two sides to this, though.
The matte side...
You're good.
The matte side down.
The dull side down.
And the shiny side up. So the food touches the shiny side.
Which does what?
Which is like stainless and galvanized steel.
Okay.
The shiny side is like stainless, so it does not... take the acidity from the aluminum and penetrate into your food.
And then somebody asked about cooking on a grill with sawdust chips.
Using sawdust to create smoke. I have never done so. Thank you very much for sharing that, and I'm going to try it. Because that, to a certain extent, makes sense. I'm just wondering how fast it's going to burn out.
Yeah, just don't use sawdust from treated wood.
Yeah, right.
That
would be a bad one.
And before I let you get out of here, you mentioned you want to do something nice for our Salute to Service honorees.
Whoever the winner is, either if it's a fire the station or whatever, either I cook for them or I send them a gift certificate to appreciate them.
That's nice.
One of the things. Absolutely. I hear these things. Look, they're first responders to what? They're not responding to a wedding. They're responding to something that a lot of us are running away from. And they jump in there, you know, so giving of themselves and their life and their security.
Hey, from my own text, somebody asked me, do you have a garden? If so, what are you growing it?
I have herbs that I use on daily basis. I have cilantro, I have rosemary, I have basil, I have onion. Grow what you use. Don't grow what sounds good. That's the same thing in urban farming. That's the same thing with food deserts. That's a lot of those things that we talked about, you know, really means. You use something every day. If you have tomatoes, you use it every day.
What's your favorite tomato to cook with?
My tomato is Roma. Roma to cook with. Beef steak or the large, you know, tomatoes to slice and have a caprese.
Man, yeah. you made me hungry today.
You know why, Roma? Because it's very thin skin and very low acidity.
You know this, I grow San Marzano.
You got San Marzano. You got a lot of tomatoes.
I do. This year I'm going to a greenhouse concept, so we'll see what happens. I'm not real knowledgeable about that, but I'd like to learn.
Yeah. You want to do greenhouse so you can have it in winters too?
I don't know yet. That's a whole different problem.
Got it.
Always great to have a chat with you for an hour talking about food and cooking.
My friend, I love it as well. And any of you that you want me, you know where I am. ChefFecker.com. Any questions you have, I would love to answer.
Till next time, thanks for spending some time in Flavortown.
Love you, my friend. Thank you.